2 Corinthians chapter 7 and to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. But they've been a joy to come. But just to make some of you guys jealous, he has 20 bobcats. And is that about right?
Forklifts.
Forklifts. I'm sorry, forklifts. But anyway, they use them. Huh? But anyway, they put this, they got these machines that cuts that sod, you know, and stuff, and then they stack it, and then it palletizes it, and it goes to new homes and stuff. He told me that there is, there's 365,000 people a year, 1,000 people a day moving into Florida, 1,000 people a day. Some of you, just to encourage you on your land prices here, they got 30 acres next to them that they'd like to buy, and then another 40 or something. One of them's 15,000 an acre, no houses on it, no nothing. And the other one's 17,000 an acre out in the country. Let the alligators out. Okay. All righty. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We better run. It's 11:27, and I'm kind of like David Gibbs. I'll try to have you out of here by 12 o'clock Eastern. I mean, 12 o'clock Pacific time. Right? Okay. Here we go. We've been preaching through the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're down to chapter 7 now. And he's going to take off. I don't know how far we'll get with some of this today, but we'll just do the best that we can. And I may just quit. I'm telling you tonight. Oh, by the way, there is a thief in the church today. There's a thief in the church today. It's the devil. And I'll tell you what he'll do is steal from you right now. He'll distract you. He'll have a kid that's smiling at you, leaning over the shoulder of somebody, and he'll have you playing here and playing there, and a fly buzzing around here, or he'll make you think, and he'll rob you. The devil goes to church. Don't ever forget that. He goes to church. A thief does not go somewhere where there's not something valuable to steal. A thief goes where there's things that are valuable to steal. And so don't let him steal from you today, okay? God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ after being saved. If you're here today or listening and you're not saved, I want to tell you, we're not here to fool around with you. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. Amen. And you get saved by placing your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, that he died for your sin in your place on the cross, shed his blood, an offering to God in place for you. And he was buried and rose the third day. And if you'll believe on him for the forgiveness of your sin, God will save you. That's grace, salvation by grace. We do not preach here that you're saved by how well you live. We preach that you're saved by placing faith in what Jesus did. And that's it. And I'm telling you, if a thief can get saved hanging on a cross, you can get saved sitting in your seat while I'm preaching today if you really wanted to. Anyway, let's look at 2 Corinthians, and I hope you got Luke chapter 15 in with that. The Bible said, having these promises, therefore, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Now look at that. Let us cleanse ourselves. He's talking here now to saved people, and he's talking to them about separation there in chapter 6 above there. He's talking about, wherefore come out from among him, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. And then he says, having these promises, this promise that he'll be a father unto us in verse 18, and that we'll be his sons, this promise, he said, because he's your father and because you're his children, he said, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You say, but Reggie, I got born again in the Spirit of God, and that new man can't sin, and that new man has perfect righteousness. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about your human spirit that you have. Did you know that what went on all and is going on right now and all through this church, and every time you meet somebody goes on, you're communicating not just by saying, hey, good morning to you, how you doing, good to see you, smiling. You're communicating in your spirit, your human spirit. Spirit. And he says here, because we're children of God, because we're saved, he said, we need to cleanse ourselves. Now you think, well, Reggie, I can't cleanse myself. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. That's true. What he's going to teach you here is that the cleansing takes place by taking the blood of Christ, cleansing, you cleanse it by confessing your sin and by reading the Word of God. And I'll just tell you right now, if you've got besetting sins, and we all have, if you want to clean that up, you read this book. I'll tell you right now, you read 20 chapters a day for the next 30 days, I promise you, you'll be cleaner at the end of those 30 days. The Holy Ghost will do a work in you. So it's the blood of Christ and the book that God uses and wants us to use to cleanse ourselves. We're not talking about a fleshly effort here. Now, to give you a practicality about this, I want you to go to the book of Luke, chapter 15, and I want you to help me preach this message today, okay? I mean, I'm talking, I want you to get with it. I don't want you to sit back there. I want you to get your mind thinking. I want you to really get into this message and think about it. In the book of Luke, chapter 15, down at verse number 12, is the famous story of the prodigal son. How many has ever heard of the prodigal son? All right, we've all been prodigal sons, probably. Now, he said in verse number 12, the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto him his living. Now watch verse 13. Now here, I want you to get in with this. And not many days after, I don't know whether it's a week, I don't know whether it's 4 days, I don't know whether it's 2 weeks, after he got all this money and stuff from his father, the Bible said that the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, I want you to help me think about the fact that he left out. Just, I want you to think about the sins of the prodigal son to start with. I want you to think about, and I know that there's things it doesn't say, but there's things it alludes to, and I want you just to kind of stretch your imagination about some of the sins of the flesh that the prodigal son probably committed, and some that we know that he did. And in verse 14, it says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and began to be in want. Of course, you know the story. He went and joined himself to citizens of that country, sent him into his fields to feed swine. He fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Lord, help us to preach today. I want you to help me name the sin. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it said this. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. I want you to help me just possibly. We're not going to do damage to Scripture. But I want you in your imagination today to say, hey, you know what? Just having given the story it tells, he probably did thus and thus. So I want you to help me. Okay, number one, and so he had a rebellion, didn't he? Okay. I'm going to just kind of give you something here just to start off. He dishonored his father. Somebody give me some sins, specific sins that this boy is guilty of and that he may have committed. And I'm going to give us the liberty to go out and beyond what the Bible says a little bit, because when it says that he spent all and he had riotous living. Yes, sir. Huh? Reckless? No restraint. Yeah, just no restraint. Reckless. I want you to get specific. It doesn't say that he drank, but my guess is he probably got pretty near the beer crowd. I'm going to say he got into to drinking liquor. Anybody else want to be brazen, be brave? He probably got into fornication. Pretty hard to get around. If you follow the trail of liquor through the Bible, you'll find that immorality and sexual sins always accompany liquor. Always do. It's a trail clear through the Bible. Oh, he probably got in. He's rebellion. He's dishonored. Very reckless. Liquor. Yes. Fighting. Pretty hard not to get in a fight if you hang around a bar long enough. Anybody else got any? Yes. 50 calls, 50 huh? Oh, you don't reckon you know what I've noticed, Dean, that when a person goes out and does what this boy did, first thing you know is his language does change. Yeah, they'll start cussing and using worldly language, but let's just put down here cussing. I want you to think about this awful boy with these sins of his flesh. Oh, you don't reckon he gambled? He lost that money somehow or another. Thank you, Jim. Yes. You reckon he started what? You don't reckon that he might have started stealing when he ran out of money? Huh? Lying, huh? I'm telling you what, I mean, I know that we don't know all these specific things, but the truth about it is, because God's very good to guard against specifics and detail of sin, if you ever notice that. But he did say it's riotous living and so forth. And that kind of tells you he wasn't just piddling around and he blowed the whole thing. I don't know, but that's a pretty good list. That'll do us, amen? How many's been doing that this week? Anybody been? Boy, I'm going to tell you what, this is terrible stuff here, these sins of the flesh. And here's what I want to get to. If we're not careful, we just, we get saved, you know, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like over yonder are those sins of the flesh, that liquor and that tobacco and that gambling and that, you know, all that fornicating and adultery. And boy, pretty soon we kind of got this list of the sins of the flesh. But the Holy Ghost is amazing and Jesus Christ is amazing. Because there's not just one boy in this story. This boy is an illustration of the sins of the flesh. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. God lists his brother's sins much more in detail. And you know what? In this church here, in our homes and our families, yeah, I want us to stay away from drinking. Say amen right there. Yeah, amen. I want us to stay away from immorality. Yeah, amen. I want us to stay away from buying lottery tickets. Yeah, amen. Oh, some of you didn't say amen. That's wrong. I'll tell you it's wrong. Fighting, I think there's a time to fight. No, fighting. Cussing. Why, if some of you come out there one day and walked up on me and I was using my chainsaw and didn't you, he's there and I shut my chainsaw off and just let off a big streak of cuss words and you're standing 5 foot, I might be thinking, woo, this is a side of Reggie I haven't seen recently. And if we're not careful, we're really, really bad about listing these sins of the flesh. And so we go to work doing what the Bible said. They're cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Now we're going to go and we're going to look at his older brother, which is a picture of the person with the sins of the spirit. And so let's go down and look at this in verse number 25. Now his elder son, here's the other brother, was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Something wrong already. Somebody's having a good time, enjoying themselves. Are you so holy that you don't like seeing anybody else enjoy themselves? Are you so holy that if somebody got holy happy in this place and raised their hand and jumped up and down and blessed God Almighty, you say, well, I think they're a hypocrite. Is that how holy you are? He heard this music and dancing. Look at his response to it. And he called one of the servants. See, he's so holy, he's not even going down there at that nasty mess at the house. And asked what these things meant. And the servant said there in verse 27, thy brother's come and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Now let's start listing the sins of the spirit. Name me the first one. No, get down there in your Bible. What's the first sin? Anger. Well, yeah, but Reggie, you get angry? Well, yeah, but that ain't near as bad as drinking liquor, Lord. Reggie, you get angry in your spirit, but that ain't near as bad as cussing. That's where we're at. Yeah, that's right. This is exactly where we're at. We got this list that's bad. But we don't like anybody preaching or talking or even discussing with our own selves the sin of our spirit. And God's not being mad at us. God wants us to grow. This isn't for our destruction. It's for our good. And you talk about freedom. Here is freedom. All right. Let's look at, and we'll come back because some of you did hit some bit on the off there. But he said he was angry. And the next thing it says, he would not go. Huh? Self-righteous. And we're going to get into all that. But when he says it would not go, what's that? Stubborn. Let's keep reading. Oh my. This is going to get the man here, and I can't think of your name, but you have to forgive me. By the way, hey folks, from Russia, I'm going to say from Russia. She's from Russia. And she knows where, you said how far, where were you at in Russia? Where were you raised in Russia? What, about near?
Well, I was born and raised in Ukraine.
In Ukraine? Oh, was you, do you know anything about the collusion? You were really honestly raised in Ukraine. Boy, I tell you what, I'd like to talk to you someday. Ukraine is an amazing country because of what it's went through. Unbelievable what that country's been through. What, so you're in Ukraine.
Yes.
Anyway, your husband, what's your first name?
Donald.
Donald, okay. Like Donald Trump? Okay, okay. Okay, I'm just going on. Hey, yeah, let's just have a good time, amen? Let's enjoy ourselves in church, amen?
Amen.
You sit back here going, I'll tell you what, I don't like these laughing churches. Well, go somewhere where they're just sitting there like a bunch of not on logs. Amen? I know there's a time to be quiet, but I like to also enjoy my salvation. Amen? Especially when there's a hard message, I want to kind of laugh it off. Okay. Now, he said a while ago, self-righteousness. Look what it said. He was angry, would not go in, and he gets down there, and his father came out. And he says, son, what in the world's wrong? Now look in verse number 29. He answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. Donald mentioned a while ago. Yeah, there we go. Now watch this. See, he's self-righteous, right? I ain't never done nothing wrong at any time. Well, then he got into the sins of the flesh because he started what?
Lying.
Now this guy's in a mess. Now let's keep reading. So we've got anger and we've got, you know what? Look at this here. He said, I transgress any time the commandment, yet thou never gave me a kid.
Jealous.
Jealous, envious. Number five, somebody said bitter. Look at this. Does this make sense when Paul told that church at Corinth? He said, it's not just the sins of your flesh you want to watch. It's the sins of your spirit you want to watch. Yes, ma'am. Self-pity. I'd call it that in the Old Testament, murmur and complaining. Self-pity.
Disrespect to his father.
Huh?
Disrespect to his father.
I mean, the next thing you know, he's doing all the sins that his brother's doing. And worse. Can I just be honest with you? If we want to honestly grow in the Lord here in this church and your families and your children and everything, focus on the sins of the Spirit more than you do on sins of the flesh. You'll have less trouble with the sins of the flesh if you take care of the sins of the Spirit.
Amen.
See, but in our deceit and in our hypocrisy, we want to have this list here. We want everybody to know that we don't do these things. We don't want anybody to see behind the curtain. Because can I tell you something? You don't see a spirit. You don't see a spirit. And the sins of the spirit are not easily seen. Oftentimes. Sometimes they are. Here's another sin he had. Well, let's read on down through there. He says, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I don't think he wanted to have a good time anyway, amen? By the way, he punched his dad real hard right there when he said kids. Anybody know how? What did his dad kill for his brother? A calf. And what he's doing, purposely using the word kid. Because the kid, see, didn't have the value of the calf. You didn't give me a kid. You gave him a calf. Then it says, as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. There's how you know about the immorality. If he's true about that. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. There's a sin I see in here that is so deep within the spirit. Here it is. The sin of unforgiveness. He didn't go in there and put his arm around or put his arm on the shoulder of his brother and say, glad to see you back. It fed his pride for his brother to be gone. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not capable of preaching on the sins of the Spirit like I think a person ought to be able to. But my prayer is this morning that we just kind of grab hold of this. And that we'd put more emphasis on the sins of the Spirit than we would the sins of the flesh. Because I'm convinced that if I will work on these, letting God cleanse me of these, be a lot less of this. I really believe that. And I'll tell you why. God does not start with our outer flesh. He starts with our spirit. If God starts with our spirit, we ought to start with our spirit. You get a man's spirit saved, get him right internally, it affects his externals, right? If we're not careful, we're going backwards and opposite of what God's doing. This is what's sad is because he's really speaking to the church here. And he's saying, you know what? You're focusing on these things. And the truth about it is, yeah, God's given you grace maybe to quit lying at least as much as you used to. Quit cussing at least in front of everybody. You only cuss whenever you hit your hammer and nobody's around. Maybe God's delivered you from liquor or tobacco or drugs or whatever it might be. And here's the sad part about it. We become proud of what God's grace has done in our life. And then, and again, we just kind of cover these things. And we literally don't believe they're as vicious as the rest of it. And this is where God's dealing with me about. I'm just being honest with you. This is where God's dealing with me. I'm never going to live too long for God to work in my heart. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I'm telling you, to the last breath I take, I think God will be speaking to me, Reggie. You know, I really do. So this is what I want to preach today about. And believe it or not, I'm going to stop right here when I get done. I'm not preaching the rest of the chapter. I'm going to stop right here. But here's the thing. I wonder this morning, are we like him? Has anybody spotted any other sins as the Spirit? Yes. You just looked at he was angry. He was stubborn. I ain't going in. I'm not going to go down and greet my brother at return. He's self-righteous. I never did sin against all these years I've done this, and I never sinned against you. He's jealous. Fixed that for him, didn't do that for me. He is bitter. I mean, say, that's for sure, all the way through. Every verse reveals his bitterness. His self-pity, murmuring, complaining. You know what? He should have been, you know what, Lord, just by your grace that I didn't go down and spend everything I've got. He should have been thanking God that God hadn't allowed him to go off and do his stupid stuff. Let me tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for sinners. I'm going to tell you who thinks was the most lost? Do you know what this boy did? This boy at least got up and come home and said, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me a servant. You never heard that out of the mouth of this one. I think you're right. Sure doesn't sound like love to me, does it, you? Yes, I'll get you in just a second. Yeah. Yes.
It's almost a perfect picture of the two that come down and pray. One pray
It is. Exactly. The two men that come to the temple to pray. One lifted up his head and said, bless God Almighty, I tithe and I do this and I do all this external stuff. fast, tithe, all this external stuff. The other guy just bowed his head and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to tell you, with all my heart, I want you to pray for me, and let's pray for each other, and let's pray for this church, that we would be a church that would at least be honest and say, hey, the sins of the spirit are just as bad or worse than the sins of the flesh. And let's not put a preeminence on the sins of the flesh that we wouldn't put on the sins of the spirit. Yes. Exactly. Matthew 23. They're whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. And what was inside of them wasn't no good. Outside looked good. Yes.
Say, too, that in the beginning of the story, when you're looking at the prodigal son, that you were looking at a man with sick spirit, and those are the results of the sick spirit.
Okay. Right here, I think, is probably a major truth about this whole thing we need to get hold of. And I really appreciate you bringing it up, because I hadn't been able to articulate that like you just did. The first son had it too. It's just this manifests itself in this eventually. What's inside will come out. And it fits the whole narrative about the Pharisees. Because just think about this for a second. Here's this boy that did it all right. He stayed with dad. He didn't demand his inheritance. This, actually, if you want to get on the list here about murder, this boy right here on the flesh, he literally was guilty of murder, and I'll tell you why. He wanted his inheritance. Inheritances were not due to when? To the death of the father. So basically, saying, Daddy, I wish you was dead so I could get my money. So he was a murderer. But what we're seeing here is that, and this is the beauty of Christianity. This is the beauty of Christianity. It will deal with your spirit, not just your externals. And if we get our spirits right, I think a lot of the externals will fix themselves. Be honest with you, I really do. Now, I didn't have a big drawn-out message about this, but I just had this little deal, and just I saw a deal that made me think of this, and just helped me, and that's where we're at. In our deal, it's 11:53, and I'm not going to preach. Actually, to be honest with you, that was my first page of all that, and it's not going to work. But I think it's enough. How many is this enough to go home and chew on this afternoon? Yes.
I think tonight the brothers compared themselves to each other. They compared themselves to each other, and as Christians, I think.
That's an absolute problem. If I'm not doing this, but he's doing that, makes me look good. Comparing ourselves, and what's the Bible say about that? Comparing yourselves among yourselves, not wise. If it's not wise, it's stupid. I'll tell you what we need to compare ourselves to, that book and our Lord. And what happens is, the good part about this and how this all fits in with grace is that if we look at all this, here's a weird deal. With these externals, we somehow or another do not, or at least this is the way it comes across to me, and I think in my personal life, it doesn't drive me to see my need of grace as bad. But when I get over here, I'm like, man alive, I'm going to have to get grace. And I just want to remind you of this. Jesus, over and over again, he came to die for sinners. And not the self-righteous crowd, none of that. So anyway, has anybody got anything else? Brother Don.
The first man in the flesh, he had to humble himself to get healed from God. The second one, as the one that humbled himself all.
Yeah. Yeah, you never do see him. Humble himself. Terry.
It says in verse 12 that the Father, what I had done to them, is living.
Hmm.
He was the elder son. He actually should have gotten wise.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, he said he divided up. Maybe he already had his inheritance too. Maybe he might have said, hey, if I'm going to give him, I'm going to give you. Maybe he had. I don't know, but that's a good thought. Him. Yeah. I'll give you a big key to this thing. Look there in verse number 30. This speech that the second son made, I'll tell you what will show you, as to me, it'll show you as much as anything. He said, but as soon as this thy son was come, thou hast, which devoured thy living with harlots. What was that second son accusing the first son? See, he was bringing, he kept popping this stuff up. And here's the wild part. He was after him, and he's probably right. Devoured thy living with harlots. He eventually went broke. And by the way, all that kind of stuff will cause you to be broke. Huh? That's not an exclusive deal, but I'll tell you right now, don't. But he couldn't see his own anger. And if he did, he didn't see it near as bad. He couldn't see his own stubbornness. How, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a brother that's been off down in sin and he comes home and he has a genuine repentant heart and repentant spirit and he doesn't even want to be called a son no more, but he's just willing to be called a servant, somebody ought to put their arm around him and say, bless God, we're with you. And when you've got some, we've got an attitude, you won't even go in the house. You got deep, deep spiritual problems. And this is what God wants to keep us away from. That's why God rejoices in mercy. Yes.
In verse 30, it's like if you read, it sounds that he was accusing Father. You did this.
Yeah. Accusing him. Yeah. Actually accusing his dad of doing wrong.
Like
yeah. He could see all this stuff as well. I mean, yeah, it's bad to drink. It's bad to do drugs. And I don't want anybody doing them. But when am I going to say that my anger is just as bad as your drinking? Maybe worse. Hey, go ahead, Danny, and I'll get you back here.
I think a lot of times we think our sins are not as bad as anybody.
That's the whole deal. We're so full of self-righteous that we don't think the things that we do, and especially the things that are kind of tucked inside, we don't think they're bad. Brother Lakey.
In 1 Samuel 16, it says, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth.
There you go.
For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Amen. Amen.
I will just encourage all of us. Now listen. A family here, they got six little kids that are in the middle of raising them up, you know. I can tell you something I know about them. Just being around. They're very concerned that you know, they know they're in the river with their children. They know that they're trying to raise their family for God. And what it does with me, I hope you'll forgive me for saying this, but she said to me yesterday, she says, and we had all six of them by C-section. And I said, my wife did too. She liked to, I've never seen such a shock on a woman's face in my life when I told her our wife did too. But I can tell they're interested. No. Listen to me. I want to give you some good advice from my failure. Try your best not to act spiritual in church any more than you would be at home. Because what happens is, here's the deal. If we come to church and, oh, well, all these sins of the flesh, but at our house, we're full of this. I think sometimes we wonder what causes our children to say, I don't want anything to do with it. And I think we better be doing what the Apostle Paul said. He said, because you're a child of God, because he's your father, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And we want to leave that last part off sometimes. Yes. Me too.
You know, how many times a Christian would say somebody's got to fall and come back and just look, instead of putting an arm around her and trying to help them?
I know.
Did the second son ever come to repentance?
I don't think it's in the scripture, Van. If this is
that's what scared me. Though.
There you go. As far as we can see, the second son, it never records him repenting. You'd think that God would have said, hey, come around and said, hey, you know, Daddy, I've been wrong. I've had a wrong attitude toward my brother. had a wrong attitude toward you, had a wrong attitude toward God, but it doesn't record that. What that makes me think, Van, is that these are far more dangerous than these. I got a hand over here and then I'll get you. Yes. Exactly. So I just, you know, want to encourage us this morning, because I have no right to, you know, act holy. Yes. Yeah. I'll just be truthful with you. If I'm not here to get help from God, what am I doing here? If I'm not here to try to grow and so forth and all that, but I'd just like for us to stand this morning, be dismissed, go home. Through. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know some people may not be able to. But if I could ask you to come tonight and listen to this message and not let anything distract you whatsoever. If you have to come up here and sit on the front seats to keep from being distracted tonight to hear this message, because I feel like God has allowed this church to live and see a glimpse of what this message is about, doing the impossible. These people live about 7 hours from where I was held a revival a couple weeks ago. They're not connected with that. And he's going to say some things tonight that I look back at what this church asked God to do. And it just really, really, really touched me. And I think it'll be a real help to everybody. So I just really encourage you. And I mean what I did. I was this morning, it's just like I was going through a bedroom. It's like the Holy Spirit just said, Reggie, warn the people not to let the thief steal from them today. Do not come in this church and think, well, the devil's out in the parking lot waiting on me to get back. He will rob your mind and your heart and your spirit of everything that God wanted to give you for you to take out this week and live in victory and in joy and in peace. And I'm telling you. But anyway, I am no way. Now, listen to me. I am no way making excuses for any of this at all. It's bad. Okay. What I want to do is balance my life out and say, you know what? I don't want to be a hypocrite and say, well, the liquor's wrong, but my anger's justified. I'm going to be really honest with you. I think this is killing Christianity in America. I think the world's looking at us and saying, you know what? Oh, yeah, they got all their dots and T's crossed and I's about some things, but a lot of stuff, they don't have it, and they're not willing to even look at it. And I just pray that God will help us. That's all I know to say. Would you pray with me this morning? Now, listen. If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to know that when we say God loves you, it's not an empty statement. He really does. You may be here this morning, you wonder, am I saved? Am I really saved? I wouldn't leave this building without it. I'd move right now. I'd just get out. I'd just fall on somewhere. And I wouldn't give nothing about what people think or don't think. Until you get to that point, you're never going to have victory anyway. But I want you to know today that Christ died for you. God gave his son to die in your place for your sins. You're never going to do enough to go to heaven. You can't. And it's Jesus' blood that was shed for you to pay for your sin. And faith in that blood is what will save you. Aren't you so glad that God doesn't say, you know, if you can do 1,000 push-ups, you can go to heaven. Or if you go to church, you know, 6 years in a row without missing a Sunday, you might make it to heaven. Or if you give money, you might get to heaven. Or you help your neighbors. Or you pay your bills. It's not going to work. There's only one thing that'll get you to heaven, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in his blood that he died for you in your place and was buried to take away your sins and rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to me anywhere, I want you to be saved. I encourage you to right now to bow your heart before God and say, God, I want Christ as my Savior. Pray. Call upon him right now. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me my sin. God, I place my faith in Jesus Christ, what he did, and nothing of what I've done. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I hope you'll do that. And then those of us that are saved, I hope we'll look at this honestly this morning. Are we the elder son, or are we the Nobody likes to attach themselves to the prodigal son. But who are we more like? And let's pray today and ask God. Lord, we come before you today and ask that you would give us the grace of God to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. God, we pray for clean spirits. David prayed, renew a right spirit within me. God, help us to see the sins of the spirit for the filth that they are, just as we'd see outward things as the filth they are. I thank you, God, that you're so holy and that your scriptures and your word, right, that it pierces through the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, Lord, the marrow and joints, the spirit, soul, and body, that it pierces, God, and it illuminates and opens our eyes and makes us to see the truth about ourselves. And Lord, I've never had you do that. What it didn't look good. But Lord, I know this, that you are working to in us by your spirit to conform us to the image of your son, that we might bring glory to your holy name, that we might have peace in our hearts, that we might experience the genuine love of God. So Lord, I pray that we would this morning, each of us begin a journey, taking a good honest look at our spirit, and what kind of person we are that other people cannot see. And that, Lord, we would be honest and have the truth in the inward parts, that we would confess our sin, forsake it. Lord, ask you to cleanse us with the blood of Christ. And then, Lord, that we'd let the water of the word pour over our souls and cleanse us. Lord, I tell you, Lord, I'm glad that you run the water through the rocks underneath us, that we can drink it from our fountains. And I pray, God, that the water would roll through our souls, that other folks would want to drink from our lives. Bless these people, God. Give them a good afternoon. And I pray, Lord, it'd be a wonderful fellowship and we might rejoice in the grace and the goodness of Almighty God. In his name I pray, amen. We'll see you tonight. Be here at